All right, Christian McBride is on the line, and we are set to record. And this is for the Movement Revisited, the civil rights movement, and a powerful portrayal at the Kimmel Center's Merriam Theater on Saturday evening, November the 21st. Christian, welcome to the program, and let us get started. I would like to know from you how this whole project began to unfold.
The project started to unfold in the late 90s. In 1998, I was awarded a commission from the Portland Art Society in Portland, Maine. And they asked if I would write a piece for some Black History Month programming that they were doing up there. And I was flattered that they would ask me in the first place to write something for them. But their only stipulation was that it had to involve a choir. And at that time, I surely had no confidence or you know, I had no knowledge in, you know, writing for a choir. So they put me in touch with a man named J.D. Steele. And J.D., his whole family, the Steele family, in the gospel world, they're just as revered as the Winans. And I was familiar with his work. And they put me in touch with him, and JD said, "Hey, listen, you know, we'll work together. Any ideas you have for you know, for the choir, you know, lyrics or whatever the case may be, just give your ideas to me, and I'll make it work inside of the choir." And so we work in tandem. Now, in writing the piece, I decided that I thought, you know, Black History Month, what do I want to do? I want to write a piece about someone or something. I decided to take four people who not only meant a lot to a particular era in this country's history, but four people who meant something to me personally. And I chose Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, and Dr. Martin Luther King. So I take their words and I put it to music. That's pretty much as simple as that. I tried to capture the personality of each person, musically speaking, while the narrator recites their words on top of the music. And it's been a joy to be able to play this piece. Anytime I can play it. I don't get to play it that often because it's a pretty big project. You know, when you got a 17-piece big band and four narrators and a gospel choir, that's not something you can play every day. So I'm always grateful to be able to play it when I can. And to be able to play it in Philly is that means the world to me. I did play it in Philly a few years ago, but it was with the University of Penn big band. And they were good, but it's very exciting to play with my own band this time.
We're always happy to have you back in town again, the hometown. You said this was first written back in 1998. Then there was the 10th anniversary of it in 2008. What changes came about in that 10-year period?
Well, when I first wrote it in 1998, the piece was originally written for a quartet and a gospel choir. And the narrators were inside of the choir. So it was a pretty compact presentation. So in 2008, when I was the creative chair for jazz programming for the Los Angeles Philharmonic, the program manager, her name was Laura Connolly, she said to me, we were getting our, putting our programs together for the following season. She said, "Hey, I read somewhere that you wrote a piece about 10 years ago for a Black History Month program. What was that? That sounds interesting. We might want to put that on here in L.A. So I actually, God forgive me, but I actually lied to Laura. And I told her, I said, "Yeah, the Movement Revisited is a piece that I wrote for my big band and a gospel choir and four narrators, and, you know, and I told her what it was, and she said, wow, that sounds amazing. Yeah, let's book it. So, so what I had to do was completely rewrite the piece for a big band, because my dream was to always do that. I never thought I would ever perform in the Movement Revisited again, you know, that we did those four performances in 1998, and I never played it again for 10 years. So when Laura discovered that I wrote that piece, I thought, well, you know, right there in that particular moment, I thought to myself, if I play my cards right, I might be able to expand my piece and play it the way that I've always wanted to play it, which is with a big band. So, sorry, I always tell Laura that I'm sorry for lying to her, but she helped me expand my piece.
Right, right. As far as the big band, this came obviously before you did the album The Good Feeling. Did that help in any way when you were doing this project?
Well, surely by 2008, I had my big band skills were starting to sharpen up by then. So, you know, for whatever reasons, I get so much joy in writing and arranging for my big band. It's sometimes it's hard for me to compose. I get really hung up trying to figure out what to write sometimes. You know, my ideas just get jumbled, you know, it's like I have a million ideas in my head all the time. So I need like some mental Roto-Rooter, you know, to let the ideas just come out smoothly, you know. And writing the piece, rewriting it for the big band, I actually think I was writing music for The Good Feeling and rewriting The Movement Revisited roughly around the same time. So, you know, it was just great joy doing both.
I remember when the Good Feeling album came out, we talked on the phone about that. And also in the liner notes in the press release that was about that, the extensive research that you did in the genesis of a lot of the arrangers that you admired and a lot of the orchestrators. So I know how deeply involved you get when you wind up doing a project. The Movement Revisited is a track that's on the People Music album, but that's with a smaller group. That has all the elements of what you're doing on the big band, correct?
That's right. Yeah. When I first wrote The Movement back in 1998, the only two songs that existed, the only two movements that exist now from the original Movement Revisited are the title song, the Movement Revisited, the song itself, and the theme of the Rosa Parks movement, which is called Sister Rosa. Everything else has been rewritten.
Mm. Do you feel that the recent outbreaks of racial unrest has fueled new interest in this project?
Yes. I surely think that there are a lot of people who feel that this piece needs to be played, or something along these lines needs to be played. I was mentioning to someone earlier today that I've been really honored to work with Harry Belafonte on and off over the last number of years, and he is now planning a big concert in New York sometime in the middle of next year, centered around the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think we are part of an era that, for whatever reasons, we're right in the middle of it right now. I don't know how this is going to resolve, but there's a lot of attention on a lot of mistreatment by people of authority. So, and there's a lot of care right now of the social and economic imbalances that I think are are way out of whack, maybe more than ever in this country. And it's sort of been on the it's been crescendoing now for quite some time. You know, you go into major cities these days. You know, I mean, I live right outside of New York City, so I'm in Manhattan all of the time, and I look at these big, glorious, gigantic, expensive condos and high rises, and I'm thinking, who has the money to pay for these things? Surely I don't. No one I know does either. So I just have to wonder where are, you know, the middle and the lower class people going. And I think other than things like just racial tensions, I think there's also a lot of attention being paid to economic tensions as well. So, yes, there is a growing interest in pieces like this, and for artists to do things that are more serious and more so than just being commercially driven. So a lot of these pop stars are going to have to start digging a little deeper, I believe.
One more question I want to ask you about the passages and the speeches from Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. and Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks. Have you gone back to those speeches and refreshed them, pulled anything different from them, or will these be the same excerpts from the speeches that you've been using?
Well, just for copyright purposes, I am using the same speech excerpts that we recorded and some of the ones I've used in the past. But one thing that you will hear that's new is I don't believe the fifth movement was performed when we were when we did it in Philadelphia. I believe it was 4 years ago. I think it was in 2011 when we did it. That fifth movement was not performed, and it's called Apotheosis, November 4th, 2008. And to me, all of the hard work that, and all of the sacrifices that all of these great people in the 50s and 60s did, and of course before, you know, it's the civil rights movement was not an isolated time and era where people were trying to better the lives of black people, but that culminated in us being able to elect an African-American president. So you're now going to hear the fifth movement, and you know, I took artistic license to have the four voices reciting Obama's inaugural speech. So it's a way to kind of artistically hear King, Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, and Ali say the words of Barack Obama.
You're going to be working with the Philadelphia Heritage Chorale. Are you at liberty to say who the narrators are going to be for this?
I actually don't know. One I know is going to be Sonia Sanchez. Sonia Sanchez, she's such a legend. I've worked with her on this piece a couple of times when we performed it in Detroit. She performed it in the recording studio with me a couple of years ago, and now we're going to do it in Philly. We're hoping that Wendell Pierce will confirm. He was also one of the narrators when we did the initial big band performance of it in Los Angeles. And he's also on the recording. So I'm hoping that Wendell will be there. Dion Graham, who has always been Muhammad Ali, the voice of Muhammad Ali, he's going to be there as well. So we don't quite have a Malcolm X confirmed yet, but that will be coming in the next couple of days, I know.
Christian, it's always a joy to talk with you. You're always involved in something that is very moving and very special, and we look forward to having you back in town on November 21st. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.